Morning, guys. We should have just about everybody at practice today. Kyle was cleared of his concussion. He may be the one guy who may not work. He has a shoulder strain also that's giving him a little trouble, so we may end up holding him out just to give him another day with that. But Harrison was cleared, which was good news. Percy's going to try to see what he can do, and then we'll get a better gauge post-practice, but he'll attempt to do something, so we'll get a better feel for where he is. Other than that, everybody else should be working, and I think we're all looking forward to playing this game against a very good football team, our NFC North rival, border rival. There's a lot of implications involved with this football game, and we need to go out and, you know, play a sound, fundamental, good football game. We need to play well on the road. So, big challenge ahead of us.
Will this be Percy's first day testing anything since Friday, or has he already kind of gone through a few things?
He did a few things yesterday. We took him through some things here in the indoor. Was okay, not, you know, definitely not there yet. So we want to try to increase it a little bit today and see how he does.
Les, are you pretty encouraged by just the advancements that all those guys have made? Because, I mean, even as late as Monday, it was looking a little shaky going into a big game for you guys.
Oh, no question, John, to know that Kyle and Harrison have been cleared. That's a big deal because they are keys to two keys to our football team. The fact that Percy is going to attempt to do something today, that's encouraging. Just a matter of what he, you know, how far he can go. But yeah, I mean, it's a big deal to have those guys out there practicing.
So was it determined, in fact, that they did not have concussions, Rudolph and Harrison?
No, they went through the concussion protocol because they were deemed guys who had suffered a concussion.
Adrian, are you going to maybe back off him a little bit this week with the shoulder?
We'll maybe limit some of the things that he does, but he'll try to participate in everything that we do. We just may limit some of what he does.
Les, did you try to change the passing game at all, or was it all about just drop balls, or are there things that you guys need to do differently schematically with or without Percy?
We'll do some things a little bit different, Mike, schematically, but some of it is because of the type of defense we're going to be playing against this week. But no matter who we're playing against, you still have to catch the ball, and you got to throw the ball, you know, where it needs to be thrown, and that'll never change. But there will be some changes schematically, but more so because of the defense we're playing.
You guys same approach at right guard, or do you start Schwartz?
No, we're going to stay with Brandon, and we'll rotate Jeff in there at some point during the course of the game, and that's worked out pretty good for us. I think it's helping Brandon as he's developing as a young player in our league, and also giving us a chance to get Jeff some reps, considering the time that he's missed over the course of the last 2 years. So, so far, it's been pretty good for us.
Jeff, giving you that, you're not getting from Brandon.
We like, it's more of what we're trying to get for Jeff from a playtime standpoint, and part of it is making sure that we're fine long term over the course of this season. But the biggest thing is his experience. I mean, that definitely shows up, and he gives us a little bit. From a movement standpoint, but Brandon's doing a good job for us. We think we're getting the best of both worlds by having both of them rotate right now.
There was a heavy emphasis last week on avoiding turnovers and winning the turnover battle. A lot of guys talked about it. It didn't translate to the game. So how much can you make that part of the message this week, and are there drills and things you can do in terms of ball security?
Well, Tom, it's a big deal on the road. I hate to go back to the last ball game, but you're right. We definitely emphasized it. And we need to play clean football to have a chance to win this game on Sunday. I mean, this is a high-powered offense. They've got a good defense with some good players, so we can't put them on short fields. We've got to protect the football, and then we've got to take it away, you know, vice versa. So we'll emphasize it in practice. We'll work on it, and then we've got to go out and get it accomplished.
Do you sense, Leslie, that this team needs to be rallied emotionally right now?
I get the sense they know what's at stake at this point. I don't think there's any rallying that needs to be done when you're playing a divisional rival. We talked about that this morning. Jim, those guys understand the implications of what have to get done. And if at this level, if you can't get excited about this opportunity, whew, you're in the wrong business. This is one. I asked them this exact question. Do I have to give a motivational speech to get us ready to play this game? And I asked them to give me some feedback. And to a man, no. You know, we'll be ready to play. It's a matter of, are we good enough to get it done on the road? But I just don't sense that there'll be lackadaisical about their approach this week.
And the reason I ask the question is you guys are 6-5, and yet it feels like the atmosphere, whether maybe it's just the public, it almost feels like the season's over when you guys are 6-5 and you have 2 divisional games left. I didn't know if that was that had pervaded your room.
I know exactly what you mean, and that was one of the reasons I took the approach I did in our meeting today. Well, I mean, this game that we're playing this week, it puts us really up 2 games on Green Bay if we come off that field like we should with a win. And you just can't lose sight of the big picture. And you're right. I mean, the people around you sometimes can drain the energy and make you feel like things are worse than they are. And we have a lot of young guys on our team who've never been in this environment, don't really understand the NFL and how it works. But this is – I'd be surprised if this doesn't go down to the last weekend of the season. We just got to keep playing and not lose sight of one game at a time. And no game is bigger than this game.
Do rivalries still matter in a sense that – I mean – you're playing a team that's ahead of you in the standings, but because it is your arch rival, there's been a lot of, you know, emotion with these games in the last 5-10 years. Does that matter anymore, or is it just the task at hand?
I think it matters. You know, I definitely tried to make it a point, Brian, to our team. I want it to matter to our team. You know, when you've got so many new guys on your team like we do and so many young players, they don't know the implications of the rivalry. They don't know the passion that our fans have for getting the win against Green Bay. So I wanted our players to understand that. I wanted them to also understand where we are in the standings and the importance of the game from that point of view, but also the border rivalry. I think that's important that they understand the history of this rivalry.
Just be clear on Percy. Has he been running and cutting and doing some of those sorts of things yet, or are you still being really cautious in terms of how much you're giving him right now?
We're still being cautious in how much we're giving him. We'll learn more today because we're going to try to increase it a little bit and see how he does.
Will you do that in team settings, or is that dependent on what he does before practice?
We're going to let him go through our individual drills and see where we are from that point, see how he does running routes and some things and get a gauge.
Do you think guys today even know the history of Lambeau?
Some guys will. You know, some you have to educate. We got guys from all over the country, you know, different situations. And, you know, some guys – no, some guys wouldn't. No, so.
Let's say I know you just look one week at a time, but what do you think about the schedule the way it's laid out for you with all these divisional games late in the season? A lot of times you will see them spread around, but just to have them stacked up one after another as you get down into a really critical point of the season.
Well, as it turns out for us, John, it's a good setup. I mean, you know, we really if we go out there and do what we think we're capable of doing, it really works out perfectly for us. I mean, all the games that we need to win are in front of us, and, you know, we got to do it one game at a time. We need to get this Green Bay win. It's important for us, and it's no different for them. I mean, they need it as much as we do. So I like the way it stacks up. I really do.
Do you feel that the defense has approached you differently these past couple of games without Percy? Was there a noticeable difference in their approach?
Obviously. I mean, Percy, for coordinators, he can be a nightmare. So, yes, they do approach us differently. You don't have to double our slot receiver like you do when he's out there. You don't approach our kickoff return team the same way you would if he's out there. It definitely makes a difference.
Jared had to manage a groin problem a little bit earlier in the year. Is he facing the typical double teams and the chips? Is he losing his step because of that, or is there something else, maybe a little bit more you're seeing, that he's not able to get to the quarterback as much lately?
Yeah, I don't think he's lost anything, Brian. I think people are still trying to do the same things. They respect this game. We still get the chips. We still get the tight ends over there trying to block them with the tackles, and I don't think it'll be any different this weekend, although this is a team that will spread you out at times. But when they do, like most teams, it's going to be quick rhythm passes. I mean, he's still a very good player. He still impacts the game. Although he may not have the sack numbers, you can feel his impact in the way people approach us in the passing game. I mean, a perfect example is last week. That team had been a drop-back team. All of a sudden, it's a lot of underneath routes. And a lot of it has to do with Jared Allen.
Sense him getting frustrated.
Get a loss out of your system in terms of dealing with your football team, and are you angry with them when they don't perform to your expectation?
Well, in our league, you better get it out of your system in a hurry. It just doesn't do you any good to linger with the pass. You got to get ready for the next ball game. We always talk about the 24-hour rule. At the end of 24 hours, we got to move on. We got to get ready for the next opponent. I mean, that's the NFL, and I talked to them about that today. We can't dwell on the past. We got to focus on the Green Bay Packers. That's what's most important. And if we can get that done, Larry, we'll go out and play well. But our focus has to be on Green Bay.
Les, can you sense any frustration on Jared's part that he isn't just finishing getting those sacks that he piled up so much of last year?
Well, Jared's a competitor. I mean, he wants to get sacks. He knows the impact they have for our team and what it does to the opposing team. So he's no different than any other competitor. He wants to help our football team win, and sometimes sacks helps that to happen. And it is frustrating. But at the same time, he knows where we are as a team, and whatever it takes to help us to win, that's what he wants to do. And as I mentioned, he still impacts the game, even though he doesn't have the sack numbers.
You don't have a ton of older guys on the team, but with Jared, Antoine, Kevin, how do you feel that those guys are holding up physically here as we get into week 12, 13, 14?
It seems like they're doing pretty good. You know, we try to do what we can to help them in practice, but Antoine's pretty healthy, so is Kevin and Jared, some of the other veteran guys, but we try to manage their reps in practice and make sure they're ready to go on Sundays.
Backwards way, does Antoine missing so much last season maybe help him and contribute to the fact that he's played as well as he has at his age to not have those hits on his body?
I don't know. Maybe. We really would have liked to have had him last year. So I'm just happy he's healthy at this point of the season. It's a big deal for us. I mean, he's playing extremely well.
For being 35 and playing that position, that's not an easy thing to do.
Not at all. There aren't very many 35-year-old corners playing at his level. I mean, it's just – It's very good for our team. It's amazing to see what he's done. Been so productive throughout the season. And he stayed healthy, which over the last 2-3 years hasn't always been the case. So it's good to see.
What's Kevin's level of play? He seems to be healthy. You know, he's had a couple years here where he struggled with his feet and knees and so forth.
You're right. Usually Kevin really begins to kick it into overdrive this time of the year. So he's done a lot of good things for us this season. He's still a guy that's productive. But it'd be great to see him kick it into overdrive as we head into this home stretch. And in the past, that's been the case. The end of November, December, he's really raised his level of play. So we're looking forward to watching him perform on Sunday.
He's pretty quiet. I mean, no one's seen on this team. No one's seen more as a Viking than he has. Mm. Does he give you? What does he give you in the locker room or any other intangibles?
Kevin is a relatively quiet guy. But he's a tremendous player, as we know. And when Kevin speaks, he's one of those guys everybody listens, because he's not a mouthy guy. He's not, you know, always shooting off about this or that. But when he does have an opinion, it makes sense. And guys respect him because of that. He's a great player that picks his points when he wants to share his thoughts. But he's been a tremendous leader for us, a great player for a long time. And just glad that he's on our team for a lot of reasons. He's tremendous in the locker room, at practice. It's not a lot of great players with his demeanor. He's terrific.
Despite the Giants being world champion, did it surprise you the way they handled the Packers like that?
Well, in our league, such a league now of parity, just any given Sunday, how do you predict sometimes what's going to happen from week to week the way things were set up? So New York Giants, they're a good football team. They won a Super Bowl a year ago, playing at home. They did a great job.
Jordan Todman was nicked up throughout training camp. We saw that burst that he had in that final preseason game. What's your level of disappointment, if any, that he wasn't able to put it together here and now he's in Jacksonville?
We like Jordan. Would have liked for things to work out here, but we have a couple of pretty good backs, and he saw that as well. He and I talked, and it's not like we're going to sit down number 28 or 32. So, you know, he did what's best for him and wish him nothing but the best. But he's a good player.
Time for two more.
Have you made any decisions or plan to stick with Sanford and Mistral rotating in, or any difference there?
No, I don't think we'll do anything different this week, Tim. We'll rotate him once again, and, we'll take a look at it again the following week. But for this week, we'll probably keep it the same.
Down with Jerome at all and just talk to him, because his frustration is pretty obvious at this point.
Yeah, we talked in a little bit. Just encourage him. We got to move on. We know he's more than capable of making plays for us, and we need him to do that this week. We don't need nobody sulking or looking back or being down. We need everybody energized and ready to have the best game of the season. So, all right, thanks.